Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell and AJ for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And let's get going. Last night's game. Make a damn free throw. Holy crap, the end of that game. Alpi at the line. Bang, misses. Alpi misses. Amen. Okay, so they need one free throw. They get the ball a couple of times. It ends up, instead of Shepard's hands or Jabari's hands, it ends up in Alpi's hands. I mean, you got to think better than that. Reed Shepard throws it over to Alpi. Alpi misses both of them. They get the rebound, tip it out, and it ends up in Amen's hands, and he just stands there. Amen, get rid of the ball. Get it to a free throw shooter. I mean, that was just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy that they, you know, first of all, why is Alpi, if in a free throw situation, Alpi shouldn't even be in a game?
No, he's sub 70% again for the second year in a row, and it's real. Like, he's not somebody who makes free throws, but he's got to be in a game. He had, you know, he's your rebounder, he's your top scorer. Like, there's nothing. He's just got to become a better free throw shooter. I mean, he's just got to improve his muscle memory. You got to really work at it. I don't know. I mean, it's very frustrating when you have a player who's that talented making those kind of mistakes late in the game, whether it's missed free throws, the turnovers. It's you want your best player to be reliable in the last 2 minutes of a game, and he can grab rebounds, but it's just something about his last 2 minutes that is disconcerting. And part of it is not being able to make free throws in a game. You're not a and Amen Thompson's not a great free throw shooter, as you mentioned. Reed is not
great.
He's actually not great.
Not great.
Just because he's a little white guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't follow that pattern. You know, in fact, Reed Shepard? Reed Shepard, since the Detroit game, if you start with the Detroit game and move forward, is 6 of 36 from the three-point line. 6 of 36. Yeah. If you take away the Atlanta game, during that stretch, he's 3 of 29. 3 of 29.
And I just don't mind him shooting. I don't know why.
Well, you don't have to, but
yeah.
His numbers, like, there's no getting around. And he was 4 of 11 at halftime, 1 of 5 from the three-point line. I'm giving you his three-point stats. His three-point shooting has been brutal the last 6 or 7 games. Just terrible.
Yeah, and he takes it. But you know what?
And he shoots. But the good thing is he shoots a lot.
Well, but Ime doesn't – you know what? He doesn't mind it.
Keep
on shooting. Listen,
he's fundamentally a good shooter, but he's missing a lot right now.
He's missing a lot. But here's the deal, too. I love when he drives, pulls up, and hits a little baby jumper. You know what? I thought
– I don't think he scored in the second half yesterday.
He was so aggressive in the first half.
In the first half,
he was so aggressive.
He was aggressive. I think he had 0 in the second half. He had 11 for the game. He had 11 and a half.
Yeah.
He didn't score.
That,
he lost some of his minutes, too. We saw Aaron Holiday.
And he hit a huge three as
well.
Huge three. You know, they were without – they shut.
But they won. They won without Kevin Durant.
Without
Kevin Durant.
You know, they don't have Halliburton, but the Rockets don't have
–
yeah. The Rockets don't have Kevin – didn't have Kevin Durant.
Or
and they played – I thought that they played really well, actually. You know, they just – that's not an easy place to go. They're not very good. The Pacers aren't very good.
No.
That's not good.
They're 13 and 36.
Yeah, they're not very good. But they can also score without Halliburton. It's a different. It's a different basketball.
Yeah, it was. It was. You did what you had to win.
Yep.
I'm not. You know, we're not changing the fundamental tone that they need to play better to be a true competitor for the you know, to get to an NBA Finals. They're not there right now. And
listen, we're on LP. You know, but the free throws, he had 39 and 16.
Yeah, so, he was actually 13 of 18. Just missed some late.
Yeah,
I mean, he actually shot the free throws pretty well, all told. But Alpi was extremely aggressive and said, "We don't have KD. I'm going to take the team on my back." And he was successful in doing so. He was extremely productive yesterday, and you just wanted to finish a little bit. You know, I mean, it's not really nitpicking. We can say it's nitpicking, but this goes for the Rockets. The Rockets are not a good finishing fourth quarter team.
No,
and
no
so
bad.
You know, that's the overriding. That's the overriding, I guess, narrative that has sunk in on this team. But you got to win. I mean, you got a big win, and that's really what matters. Is that even against bad teams, I don't care right now. Just go find ways to win. And without Kevin Durant, that's some adversity. You find a way to win. You had some adversity in the fourth with the lead changing, and you still hung on. And you know, you're up 1-7, 1-12 with a chance to really shut that game down. Alpi got ripped, and you had to sweat it a little bit at the end. But Rockets get a win, and on to the next one.
Yep, that's all it is. But it was that was a fun game. That was a good game at the end. Got a little too close at the end, but they took care of that business. And the Rockets, 31-17 now? 14 games over 500. Not great, but they're the fourth seed. And, you know what? As long as they get into the tournament, you'd like to see them up there with the two seed. They're not going to, obviously, not going to get to the one seed. But they're playing decent basketball. But you're right. They just don't close. They just can't. They just do not close.
You could still win the league.
Alpi addressed the not making it to the not making the All-Star team. And maybe it fueled him a little bit last night. Maybe, you know, he found out yesterday or 2 days ago that he wasn't going to make
the All-Star team. Think about that. That probably was some of the fuel for yesterday's fire.
Yeah. That and Kevin Durant not there. You know, I got to take the time. I got to put the team on my back, though. But he did address not making the All-Star team. Here is Alpi talking about that.
This is the first time we're talking to you about the All-Stars were announced. How did you learn about the news? What was your reaction? And was there any added motivation for you tonight?
You know, it's my goal after this time, after last year's, to be All-Star every year. You know, it was disappointing for me. But it happens. You know, we have a lot of talents in the league. And, you know, I'm still young. I'm going to make it eventually. And it's going to make me just hard work. And, you know, I have still goals. I got to make it, you know. And stuff like this just always push me. It's a good way. You know, I just got to work harder, be disciplined what I'm doing. And, you know, I have hopefully a lot of years in NBA and a lot of All-Stars. I will make it.
Did you want to prove a point today with your performance?
It's not about All-Star. I just got to just prove it myself. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I haven't had a good month last month, and it's just a new month. You know what I'm saying? I just got to be aggressive. I just got to remember who I am and how I can dominate every game, you know, and be confident and just go over there and kill it. And that's who I am, and that's what I'm going to do every night I'm playing.
And to be fair,
Alper Şengün, and you know what?
He mentioned
he didn't have a good month.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
He looked very – he did not show any tentativeness yesterday.
No.
Sometimes he loses his rhythm, and he will – he still – look, I mean, I really don't want to focus on negative stuff, and this isn't about Alpi. The 20 assists and 15 turnover number yesterday, that's just not good from the Rockets, but it also speaks to the fact that the ball is so much stickier this right now than it was early in the year. And I think that's one of the real key components is I think everyone is pressing a little bit to do more and do more. And he's the same way. It gets a little sticky in his hands, but I mean, he was highly productive yesterday. But I think as a team, they're going to eventually have to get back to trusting the guy next to him and not trying to do too much. But Alperen playing, he mentioned. I went and just looked at his splits. 14 games last month. He mentioned last month. You know, he played 31.3 minutes. This is lowest minute total of any of the months up to this point. Of course, November, he only played 9 games in December, and in November he had 13 games. But he shot 48.3% from the field, his lowest number 23% from 23.5 from the 3-point line. That's better than his 6% in December. His free throw percentage of 56%. So when you look at numbers across the board, rebound number was down. I mean, his assist number was down. He's right. I didn't really realize this, but this was a bad month for Alpi, and what's a good start to February?
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, we talk about Alpi in the league not liking him. You know, the players didn't vote for him. I think he finished 23rd.
It came out, yeah. For John's referencing something that came out where it was pretty shocking.
Yeah.
How far down the list they had him of all-star votes by players.
Yeah, the players
clearly don't like him.
Players clearly don't like him. How much of it is his constant complaining with the referees? How much of it is, the whining, the always looking, the hands in the air?
There's a lot of guys that do that. Do they all get punished like that?
I know, but he's a Euro doing it.
Yeah, I think that I honestly believe it matters.
Yeah.
I think there's been that jingoistic, attitude towards international players for years and years. I'll never forget when I think it was Kenny Smith and Stephen A. Smith back in the early 2000s were going after international players. Like, it was really, I won't forget this, that they were like, they don't belong in our game type of, like, kick them out, deport them. They had this attitude like they should not be good players in our league because this should be an American game. And it was kind of jarring to hear these guys say that when Olajuwon was a rocket and played in the league. And attitudes have changed.
Yeah, but he wasn't
changed.
A Euro.
It was any international player. Attitudes have changed. Shortly after that, Manu was dominating. But there was just this attitude, and it was specifically around the NBA draft, where international guys were being drafted early.
I remember
Nikolic Ivanišvili was, ended up being a bust. And there was this anti-international player sentiment. So I think it's been around for a while. There has been this, like, that's why I thought the All-Star game could be interesting with the, international players versus American players. I kind of feel like that's one of the one areas where you could see a little bit of competitiveness leak out. It's almost like if somebody starts to be competitive, the other side will too. But if it turns into this, we're too cool for school, we don't want to try too hard, it's All-Star game, then it's always going to stay like
that. Yeah, no, well, it's not. I mean, Jamal Murray addressed it yesterday. He's like, I don't even want to play in it. I want to go on vacation. I don't even want to be there because nobody's competitive.
Then beat it.
He said, you know what, Giannis will play. He said, I'll play one-on-one.
Then beat the brakes off that team. Well, beat them by 30.
Then play hard.
Because I promise you, if they start getting embarrassed, they'll play.
Yeah.
If you're guarding after they pass half court and you're guarding, I promise you, they're going to be like, okay,
now we go.
Now, Kobe Bryant did that to LeBron, and LeBron basically just, I don't want to say coward, he didn't respond. He was just like, hey, what's going on? And Kobe literally was challenging LeBron.
To play.
Yeah, to like, let's go. Yeah. And Kobe was wired way differently.
Well, obviously, we're going to get that tonight. We got the NFL All-Star game tonight.
Okay, stop it.
No. You don't think that it's going to
be – Is this the flag football game?
Yes, we got the NFL All-Star game tonight. How excited are you for this NFL All-Star game tonight?
Extremely.
Dell, look at Dell. Dell's like, I can't wait. Dell was rubbing his hands. We and Dell, we watched
– Did Tyreek make it back for the game?
Did
Tyreek make it back?
No, Tyreek didn't get back for the game. Me and Dell watched the Rockets down here last night. We split a pretzel.
No.
It was awesome. One of those giant pretzels.
No way
here.
He was here.
Dell doesn't like salt on his pretzel.
There's no way Dell was here.
Yeah, he was here. We watched the game together.
You were actually here. I was up watching.
It was great. Yeah.
I had Rockets up and then on in the background, and I was watching Cage Casey, the tackle from Boise.
Oh.
So, and.
Well, I got a question for you on the other side about the NFL draft. And see if you agree or disagree. But first, San Jack. You agree with them.
I agree with San Jack. I agree with San Jacinto College because they have been they've been around for a long, long time. One of our listeners, Mega Blast, always raves about it. He was there, saw a lot of old UNLV basketball players back when they used to pull Moses Scurry and those guys, David Butler. And they used to be a basketball hotbed. Well, now they're a hotbed for you, changing the way that you approach your future. And it can be for – there's plenty of young people who go there who get started. Maybe they have not put the time in. Maybe you've not put the time into your work for a 4-year college, and you want to, you know, get started there. Maybe you have, and you simply want to avoid the astounding college debt that you will accrue and that you will be paying into your 50s. Sanjak says, look, go to sanjak.edu, and we can get you started so that you can get those credits and head to a 4-year school if that's what you want to do. And it is a great way to avoid the outlandish costs that are associated with college. They're someone who is able to help you reach your goals in that way. There's 6 different campuses in the Houston area. They're the number 2 college in the nation as ranked by the Aspen Institute for community and junior colleges. And they also have aid as well. So if there's financial aid, if that's a big consideration for you, if you're interested in that, they can help you on that front as well. There's over 200 different programs available, so there's an infinite number of possibilities for you to, you know, how you can go in different directions for, you know, for your future so that you have an actual career instead of just a job. So whether you're someone young, whether you're older, and you just want to get started on a new career, there's always sanjak.edu.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back live at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. What a great place. What a great place. Love this place. Had some pizza and wings last night. Me and Dell watched the game. Had some that had a great.
Thanks for the invite, Del.
Yeah, Del. He's something.
Dirty little creep.
He's self. I guess he just wanted me by himself. That's all.
No, he doesn't like sharing you.
That's all. No, he didn't want you.
He didn't like sharing
in.
You.
But what a great place! My boy Nick is here with Cindy from Nick's
I told
Place.
You.
Yeah, no, I texted him and he came over. We were.
It's me, Nick from Nick's Place.
Watching the game
some
here.
Some people think it's a dive.
The Isbells are here. The all the boys from
Jason
Carlton
Isbell
Woods,
from the
JJ Isbell,
oh, okay,
and his son Brendan. They're here. They've got a giant. This is a great place. He does this every year. He's got a big trucking firm, and he brings where they deliver gas. And he brings all the people here every year, and they have their yearly right. meetings here. What a great idea!
I grabbed something from. Took it up to my room.
Claim jumper?
No. Landry's. Actually just
oh, you
had
some
the
Landry's?
Little,
nice.
Yeah, the little bacon-wrapped shrimp and a salad.
Nice.
Took it up to the room. Took a little break to watch Industry, the newest episode of Industry.
What? How and, convenient, all by himself in his room with Industry on. How convenient. I got a question for you.
Yeah. I still have to watch the seventh secret warrior or whatever that
I don't
game
even know
what's
what
a Game of Thrones called, Dell? Seventh Warrior of Sin or I don't know what it's called. No, I just know there's a little bald head kid that's the star of the show.
He is? He's bald headed?
Yeah, the little squire. He's a little smarmy smart aleck.
Okay.
And I like him.
Did you see the commercial where the squire, there's a squire for Marshawn Lynch?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it a commercial? I don't know what that
it's
is.
It's a trailer to endorse the show.
It's an HBO. Yeah, it's an HBO thing. It's to promote the new Game of Thrones prequel, whatever it is. It's on. Like they're already 3 episodes in.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's funny.
It's very funny. Marshawn Lynch is. I mean,
he's on. Did you see the Bill Maher review?
I saw. So we must have the same algorithm.
Yeah, right.
I saw. The same clip you did.
Yeah, no, I've seen more than that, yeah.
Were they talking about Bill going to the black strip club?
Yeah.
You weren't ready for all that ass.
He said, you know, we all have our different tastes.
We have different tastes, yes. Which is true.
Yes.
He's like,
that wasn't mine.
He goes, it was too much. It was too much. It's kind of like a mine,
yeah.
too. Like,
yeah.
It's things I like, and then there's things that for me are in excess. It's just my personal taste.
Right.
So I'd probably align with Bill on that one. Marshawn was like, sounds like you weren't ready for all that ass. I was ready. No, I was ready for it. That's the only clip I saw was Marshawn talking about that. And it was, He is just legitimately, you know, it's funny because he hated talking to the media.
And now he's a media darling.
And then that, you know, he had the great AJ Fine. Is it AJ or Mabe? It's got to be AJ, right? Yeah, it's AJ today. Back then.
Yeah, it's AJ.
Find the old, I'm just about that action, boss. The old, okay. This is in 2014. We were in New York at that draft, and he said, I'm only doing this because I don't want to be fined. I'm just about that action, boss.
Yeah.
And somebody turned it into a remix. And, AJ, if you can find it, it's a phenomenal remix. It's just called I'm Just About That Action, Boss. And that's all he said, I'm just about that action, meaning I only want to play football. I don't want to talk to you. Now that he's out of football.
And that's all he does.
It's all he does. Yeah. And everyone loves him. Like, they send him. Look, they send Snoop Dogg to the Olympics and all these places. If you really want it raw and uncut, you send Marshawn Lynch somewhere.
Yeah.
Because Marshawn is going to tell you exactly. He doesn't put on airs. He's always Marshawn Lynch. You're going to have to beep him or have to edit him. It can't be live.
No.
You cannot do something live on network
unless
television.
It's HBO or.
Yeah. That's right. The only way.
All right. I got a question for you. Yesterday, day before, and I think Dan Orlovsky has been saying this. If Arch was in this draft, he'd be the number one pick. And it's not even arguable.
No. It's not even close. It would be Fernando Mendoza.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't listen to Dan Orlovsky.
I'm not listening to Dan Orlovsky either.
Fernando Mendoza's tape
is so much more athleticism in Arch.
Great. You know who else had great athleticism? Justin Fields.
Well, no,
how's
this is
that
different,
done?
Though.
No, it's not different. He was a terrible passer. You watched his.
Yeah,
you watched him play football.
I said it. I said he wasn't great. He improved at the end of the year.
He improved his standards. Yeah. He will eventually be better. He's not remotely close to Fernando Mendoza. You stick Arch Manning in the NFL, and he will get bludgeoned to death.
Yeah, it'll take some time.
He cannot read defenses quickly. He's a slow processor.
He is a slow processor. I agree with all of that.
These are all things you've said.
Most potential, though, Arch has.
Why?
And I'm projecting forward.
If his name was Arch Raskovich, you would not say that.
Arch Raskovich.
Could have just went with Johnson. It would have been.
Okay, yeah. If his name was Arch Johnson, you would not say that. If his name wasn't Manning,
you would say
he's a slow processor who can run outside of the pocket. He's not accurate as a passer. And he was so bad in the early stages of the year, in the first 75% of the year, and then he had good stats late in the year and passed better. There's no way that you would say, if his name wasn't Manning, you would never give him the credit of being better in the future. You would just say, this guy's not very good. He can't process quickly. That's a really important thing to process in the NFL.
It is.
What about the S2?
I agree.
I thought that was a big deal.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree with everything you're saying, and yet.
And they call me Longhorn Lance, the arch apologist.
Yes.
That's what they say I am.
I
heard that at a dinner at Cultivari from an Aggie and an Owl, that said I was an arch apologist. Does this sound like an arch apologist? He would be the second player in the draft.
Just about that action, ball.
See?
Just about that action, ball.
That's it right there. Have that ready. Have that ready, AJ.
Yeah, come back with that.
We'll come back with that.
Come back with
Make
that
sure
from
you got
the
a good
break.
Set. Make sure it's a
just
good quality.
Just about that action, ball. Okay. Yeah, your boy.
You talk about Fernando.
I love Fernando. I think Fernando's going to be.
Dell's going to be down on Fernando
Quarterback he's down on. Is
I know.
Great.
Drake May's about to win an MVP in the Super Bowl.
Drake May.
He's going to win a Super Bowl and an MVP.
Drake May. He's not going to win the MVP.
You know what? All he does is win, Dell. He's a winner.
Sucks. You watch
like CJ.
All
they do is win in the playoffs.
You watched them all playoffs. Does he look good?
He makes winning plays.
Winning plays.
He makes winning plays. Handing off sometimes.
Stopped it.
Running for first down.
He played a terrible schedule, and when he actually played good defenses, he stunk. Whatever.
There he is.
And as far as Fernando Mendoza, is the NFL going to allow him to run RPOs all game?
Yes.
And
if they call
shoulders?
It, if they call it,
is that all he's
if they call
do?
It,
does he ever throw over the middle of the field?
Yeah, he throws over the middle.
I didn't
a lot.
See it. I
watched every throw. He throws
I didn't
over,
see it against Ohio
let
State.
Let me tell you one of his strengths.
I didn't see it against the one two of best his, defenses. Well,
it depends on how they guard. If you want to play zone against him, he will tear you up in zone.
I agree wholeheartedly.
RPOs
he throws.
And back shoulders.
You're going by a couple games
against
throughout,
the best teams he played
throughout
yes.
the year.
Against Penn State, he didn't.
And he beat Ohio
great.
State twice, but
he beat him once.
Oh no, he beat him once. But since
not
you
because of him.
And Penn State, he played great in the fourth quarter when you needed to win.
And he made mistakes and made that game close.
His issue is going to be, do you protect him? But as a passer, he is a really fine passer. He processes quick. He throws accurately. He throws with anticipation.
He really does.
People,
I agree.
People really don't like him because he's corny.
No, I don't like him because I know he can count.
You don't like him because
he counts. I know he counts in the box, and if there's not enough guys, he'll hand it off. Yeah, but that's all I saw against Ohio State and Miami.
Look, that's one of the things that makes it tough on college quarterback evaluating college quarterbacks is, you know, there are some play. The job of a college quarterback, a college head coach, is to win collegiate games. And so they run more RPOs, they simplify, they spread things out, and they simplify, and it's great for college. Now, how will it translate? I watched him long enough, and I put him in a lot of categories. I wanted to see him in red zone. He's got like 32 touchdowns, no interceptions over his last 2 years. Like, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes, and he throws with accuracy.
So where do you – what is his rating?
6.7, which is – like, in comparison, it's what CJ had, a 6.70. I had a 6.73 from Mendoza, and the only reason I lowered him from a 6.8 was because he's not mobile. So if you get with the team that doesn't protect you, you ain't going to be as good. I gave Bryce a 6.73, 6.74 when he came out. So in the same category as those quarterbacks for me.
What was Joe?
7.0.
Yeah.
That's high.
Yeah.
You know, that's all pro territory. So I gave him, Trevor Lawrence, that. I gave Sam Darnold that when he came out. You know, I was too high on Sam, but I mean, he's become a good quarterback. But, you know, Drake May, I gave a 6.5, which is boom bust. I gave Jaden Daniels a high 6.7, a higher 6.7. I gave Caleb Williams a higher 6.7. So, like, he's in that category. He would have been, you know, over the last four years, he would have been like my fifth rated quarterback, but ahead of CJ.
You better get your boy Todd McShay too. Because
he said something wild the other day.
He said this is going to be maybe the best ever quarterback draft next year.
I mean, if these guys play well.
Dante Moore, Lenore Sanders.
Sellers.
Yeah. Lenore Sellers. Who else did he include in this? Mayava. There were a couple other ones that I forget.
Right now there's a bunch of second and third rounders is what he's talking
about.
He's
got 8 first rounders next year.
Yeah, so he's projecting all of them are much better than this year.
Yeah.
And that includes Arch, by the way.
Oh, Sellers is better improved a bunch.
Sellers offensive
line. And Dante Moore, too, I think.
He stayed at South Carolina, right? Sellers, yeah. And Dante Moore, I talked to an NFL team about Dante Moore when I was down at Mobile because I wasn't, like, he was a big sideways passer. He did a lot of controlled throws. I wasn't as crazy about him. And they said the same thing. I said, did you ever watch Dante Moore? They said, we talked about him not coming back. Here's how it came up. I said, I'll bet you he didn't come back because it was the Jets. And they said, maybe, but with the money that's available to quarterbacks now and a chance to develop, he goes, you know, and this guy who is a general manager actually of a team, he said, we watched him and really didn't think he was as good as all the hype. You know, he see the mock drafts and stuff like that early on, and we were like, we don't see that. Like, we wouldn't want to take him with the second pick if we had the second pick. He wasn't that good. He's a second pick guy. His quote, he's a guy that'll get you in trouble if you're picking him too early because he's not ready. He said, now give him another year. And I think that's one of the really good things about NIL is that it is going to – we had 60-some-odd players come out in the draft this year. It was 120-some-odd back in 2021. This money is keeping second- and third-round picks and even some first-round picks in, which all you're going to do is get better development. Mm-hmm. That's all you're going to do is – you know, somebody will cherry-pick a player who loses money because he doesn't play as well, but the vast majority simply get bigger, stronger, and more skilled as they play more.
Yep. All right, we got a little baseball to talk on the other side.
Todd, come on, Todd. We were saying that about the – I mean, you got Arch, Cade Klubnik. That's another. Cade Klubnik, Lenore Sellers, Drew Aller. What an incredible year this is going to be.
No, that eight first-rounders. Get your boy.
I did talk to him, though. I said, hey, Todd, if you ever need anything, if I can help you with any resources I have or whatever, let me know. I'll be more than happy to help. You know why? I'm a good person.
Yeah.
Because I try to help other people.
You. Wait. No, that's not what they say.
That's what they say.
Wait, I know.
It's what they say. Don't worry.
All right. I got to talk about, you know what they say about Champion Energy, champion.energy/1560. They say, get that electricity in your house, peeps. They say, listen. Why are you paying more for with your electricity bill? Is your bill up? Is it up? Well, if it is, you need Champion Energy. Get out of that bill, whatever it is. Get out of that. I don't know who you got, who is your provider, but I know mine was cheaper when I had 17 years of Champion Energy. I saved tens of thousands of dollars because I was with Champion, and you can too. You're looking for the best way to get that electricity to your house. Champion.energy/1560. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. I'm just about that action. I'm just about that action, boss. You ready to go get it?
Wilson under center. He's going to hand it off to Lynch. He looks for some running. He breaks free across the 10. 15. Cuts outside. 20. Chase from behind. Still on his feet. 30. 35. Still going 40.
This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
NFL Pro Bowl tonight. Tonight doesn't get any bigger. How about that they didn't want to do it on the weekend because, you know, there's other real sports going on. So they said Tuesday night. That's how pitiful this thing is. It's gotten to a Tuesday night. CJ decided he wasn't playing it. CJ was asked to play, and he said, nah. Can you imagine being there? He'd be like, everybody be looking at him like, what are you doing here? Of course, they're doing that with Shadur anyway, right? Yeah. He's a rookie fifth rounder who was one of the lowest rated quarterbacks in the league, and he accepted. Yeah, I'll do it. Yep. You want to build a statue of me too here? Okay, you guys going to retire my Pro Bowl number here? That what we're doing? Because I ain't coming unless we're retiring that number. So that's tonight. Can't wait to see that tonight. I don't think I'll watch 3 minutes of it, honestly. It's terrible. It is so bad. And, let's go to Jim.
Remember, it's just a flag football game now. It has been for
that's all it is,
year yeah. three or year
and
four.
And are they going to do some skills stuff, too? And
I think that's separate.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's going to be tonight, too.
You think all the skills stuff is?
It's a one-night deal now. It's a Tuesday night. They ain't doing, like.
How long are they going to have to be out there?
I don't care.
I'm surprised we even have anything. They probably just want $500,000 in a vacation.
That's all. Well.
Maybe you can do live streams of guys, of guys drinking and going to clubs and stuff.
Well, that would be more interesting than the flag football game. I think before we do baseball, we got to do James Harden.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing, oh, my God, Jeff Teague, I wanted to just go right through the computer. Oh, well, you know what? He's got to go to Houston. I mean, he's got to go to Houston because look at his numbers. He's amazing. Look at he's still averaging 26 a game. Boy, yeah, Houston, they need James Harden back. The last thing Houston needs is James Harden back. The very last thing. Ime has not changed. Is Ime that different from when he started to now that he would want a nope defense playing James Harden?
Well, so he's got a year under his belt. Like, the locker room is different. These guys are established. I think it's a little bit different in some ways. You know, Alperen has really, truly established himself. He's not, you know, this isn't Jalen Green here anymore. This is Amen and KD and Alperen. So it's a different locker room now. Guys are more veteran. It's not the same locker room where James could have had a negative impact on the locker room. If you're doing it for whatever, however many games are left, you know, he would give you – I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I've been staunchly opposed to James coming back. I think it's kind of an interesting discussion point here because would he be willing to put up with – he knows him. You say he was in Brooklyn, right? So he knows James.
Yeah. Maybe that's why he didn't want him back here in the first place.
Maybe so, but maybe it's because he still had a very young team. And he thought they were impressionable and didn't want that.
And he wanted to play defense.
This is, frankly, an old team now with some young guys.
And maybe he wanted to play defense.
I think you're not going to get everything you want. I think you have a fundamental issue with not having a ball handler that will never go away this year.
Well, like, well, if Fred comes back.
Only if – and what are you getting from Fred? He's coming off of what is typically a season-ending injury. When would Fred be back? And we don't know. I mean, I don't know the timetable on Fred.
Well, they said he'll be back. He's on schedule. Be back.
But what if he's not very good?
Well, that's great.
I mean, you don't know. He's coming off.
James is still James.
He hasn't played basketball for. Well, James. What do you mean?
What James is? What is that? Are those spots different on that leopard?
Well, I mean, I don't think you worry as much about it in over a 40-game span, 45 with the playoffs.
Oh no! He wants $80 million guaranteed over the next 2 years.
Well,
too.
We're not doing that.
Oh, okay. What do you mean?
We're not doing.
But
that.
But that's why he's leaving. That's why he's leaving the Clippers.
Well, you're not going to do. James is such a fraud. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. Obviously, the
he
Rockets
wants
are,
$80 million guaranteed
okay,
over
well,
2 years.
To me, this is a rental. If this were Kikuchi, if he were James Kikuchi, I would consider it.
Oh, he's. Been
I would
James
actually
Kikuchi
consider
for a while, no.
But I would actually consider James Kikuchi the rental. I would 100% consider that if I were the Rockets.
I wouldn't. I would.
I don't think he's going to have.
I've seen.
Yeah,
it.
But this is. He's not the man. You know, you saw it when he was the boss of
he
Daryl
still
Morey.
Thinks he's
he was the
man.
Boss of
what are you
Tillman.
Talking
he
about?
Was the boss of. Nah, I don't think so. Not with Ime. I don't think he would be here. That's been 5 years since he's been here.
When is James
his games
not
has
thought
fallen?
The game well, was all
seen,
about him?
Well, he doesn't play like that with the Clippers.
Yeah, he does.
No, he hasn't. When everyone was healthy, he didn't.
What are you talking about?
He didn't
he's
play
still
like that. He didn't play
guy.
Like that with the Nets.
Those spots have not changed.
He didn't
changed.
Play like that with the Nets. He was subservient to others around him. You know, when other guys are like James plays basketball similarly, but he doesn't want to be the number one when he's with other alphas, when he doesn't want the pressure. When things were going good in Houston, yeah, he was the boss. He was the boss of Morey. He was the boss of Tad. He was the boss of Tillman. He was the boss of everybody. James Harden ran the team, and you would get rid of players that he didn't like. You get rid of coaches he didn't like. That's the way it was. That's not the same James Harden anymore. He didn't have that juice. He may want it, but he didn't get it. He doesn't have that juice in
the
NBA.
He averages 18 shots a game.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is out a lot of times.
Well,
I don't
Kawhi
think,
Leonard's there.
I don't think he would be step back.
And this
James.
Month he's averaged actually more with Kawhi there.
Yeah, but I don't think with the Rockets and KD it would be the same thing. I don't think you're getting the same thing. James is not a dumb basketball player. James is a smart player. He doesn't have the same juice. Now, if it's – I would consider a rental because – because I think that what
he's averaging more three pointers than in his career since the 18 season. The
well, yeah.
most three pointers.
I mean, that's
career.
Not unusual. He settles. He's settling more now. What's he shoot?
He's shooting 34%. 35%.
It's not great. Better than most of the Rocket shooters.
Yeah, I don't.
That's
I don't
not great.
I don't need. Listen, we did that. We've done. Been there. Done that.
Well, I can tell you what they got
you.
Right now isn't good enough.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
I
that's
can
great.
Tell you that, and I don't know about
and James
waiting.
Harden wouldn't be good enough.
I don't know about waiting for Fred. To me, you better make a move, even if it's for a bench guy. You better consider making a move for somebody who's a real ball handler, and not just Aaron Holiday. That's not a point guard either. Reed Shepard's not a point guard. Aaron Holiday's not a point guard. None of these guys are point guards. They're little shooters, is what they are. And I mean, you got to find somebody who handles the ball well, who can bring the ball up. Enough of this. Get you into your offense. That's kind of overrated. I mean, get you into the offense just means you make the initial pass to, so that Kevin Durant and Alpi don't have to bring the ball up and start from 40 feet out. That's what that means. But I mean, you need it though. You need somebody who can handle the ball, and not get ripped on the other side of the court. Reed Shepard turns into a frightened child whenever he crosses half court when the Oklahoma City Thunder are up in his business. He like doesn't like it at all. He hates playing against Oklahoma
City. And James Harden disappears every time there's an elimination game. Don't want it.
I know what
don't
his, I know
it.
What his I know what his career is. I just think it's an interesting conversation because I don't think James Harden. When I watched him play, he doesn't play like he's the boss of everyone anymore. So, and I don't think anyone's going to ever be the boss of Ime Udoka. Nobody. But if you give James a bunch of money, it turns into a problem.
Well, guess what?
And I would only do this if it
comes
were a
along with an $80 million extension.
Yeah. No, see, I'm not interested.
Okay, well, that's what he wants. That's why he's leaving there.
Yeah.
Listen, here's Shams on James Harden.
Go ahead.
On why he wants out of L.A. now.
So, James Harden, again, when you have a mutual option, you have a small partial guarantee of about $40 million. He's also thinking about what is my future with the Clippers?
Can I win?
Is there a potential fit somewhere else? And also, is there a path toward competing for a championship? And looking at all the sides, and the Clippers similarly have to make decisions for their future as well. And so This has been, over the last couple of years, I think James Harden's had a really good run there. You hear only positive things for him in L.A. as a leader, as a player. He's been pretty much available throughout his entire stint in L.A. But now, on the eve of the trade deadline, James Harden and the Clippers are evaluating a trade of him out of L.A.
And maybe it makes more sense now that he hasn't played the last two games for the Clippers for personal reasons. There we go.
I mean, okay. What happened?
I'm not willing to die on a hill for James Harden. I just think it's an interest. I'm just letting you know that I was staunchly opposed, and now I would be willing to consider based on what he brings, but it's only as a half-year rental. It's not keeping him any longer than a half year. It's literally the Kikuchi model. That's the only way I'm interested. I'm not interested in having James Harden, you know, 2.0 here. I'm really not. But if as a rental, I would consider it. I would discuss it. But not if he wants an extension. That's a
you know what's all over my timeline? Brian Damaris.
Yanni's brother?
Yanni's cousin.
Why?
He's the one, the Mavs announcer, that ripped him. Remember that?
That's really a cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty old, but yeah, but it's accurate.
It was accurate as all get out. And listen, James Harden, November 2020, request trade from the Rockets. February 2022, request trade from the Nets. 2023 in June, request trade from Philadelphia. 2026 February, request trade from the Clippers.
He always does this.
I mean,
once again, I'm not trying to sell you stock on James Harden the person or James Harden the long-term solution of anything. This is only trying to get a left-hander who throws the ball 96 miles an hour, who can get you some innings and give you a chance to have quality starts in the playoffs. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm literally just trying to find someone who he's expensive, but you also, well, I don't know how you would have to make some things work, but no, James asking for more money. Well, we can just move on to the next topic then, because I'm not interested in that. So I will no longer talk about that if James has to have more money. Not interested.
Yeah.
You can go, James literally right now is just trying to extend his paychecks. And if that's the case, if it's just all about extensions.
He's 37.
I want to go back home to L.A. No, I don't want to go back home. Yeah. I mean.
Oh, I love Houston.
I only want Kikuchi James. I don't have any interest in Garrett Cole James.
Yep. All right. Do you have interest in Taquerias Aranas?
Yeah, I have, and I have for a long time. And I have from before I started talking about Taquerias Aranas, and I will continue to do it because Taquerias Aranas is a big difference maker. You know why? Taquerias Aranas has breakfast, they have lunch, they have dinner, they have a sports bar where you can come in and watch your favorite games right there at their bar. A lot of the bars they have are partitioned off, and so you're able to get your favorite games on televisions to watch. You got a bar menu, you've got drink specials going on with margaritas and beer and different cocktails. Taquerias Aranas has authentic Mexican food, authentic dishes, all three meals, and at price points that you won't believe. I mean, they make it affordable enough to go in two or three times a week if that's what you're looking to do, as opposed to some of these other restaurants where that would not be possible with the way they've raised their prices. It's Taquerias Aranas, locations all over the city of Houston. Stop in this morning and grab yourself breakfast. Go sit down to a sit-down breakfast or grab a bag of breakfast tacos and bring it into the people at work and watch. You know, you'll be a hero. You'll be an absolute hero if you do that. It's Taquerias Aranas. Go to TaqueriasAranas.com to find a location near you.
ESPN 97.5. This is John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Live at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Man, where we love it. We just love it. If you're looking for the best place, you know, you're still going to be able to get here and go and watch the big game because they're going to open up the Blue Martini. They've got a place for the kids to watch over at the Claim Jumper or what's the other restaurant next to it, Del? Do you remember? At the Mexican restaurant right there?
I don't know the name.
Yeah, but it's right. Yeah, you can have kids in there watching. Is it the Cadillac Bar?
It might be.
It might be the Cadillac Bar. Anyway, so you can bring young kids. So if you've got kids and you want to bring them here, they're more than welcome. Kids are welcome here. So you can do that.
Cadillac Mexican Kitchen in Tequila Bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is still available, but make your reservation. And I don't even know. Maybe you can still. I doubt it, but you maybe still get in here. But for sure, you get here for the NCAA tournament. There are seats available in the DraftKings Sportsbook right now, but I wouldn't wait. If you really want to go to the DraftKings Sportsbook for the NCAA tournament, do that. Do it now. Do it now, okay? GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com. We love it here. It's been a great stay, a couple of days here, and we're heading toward the big game. But we got some baseball to talk about today. Yiner Diaz going to arbitration. Yiner Diaz is heading to arbitration. The Astros have offered $3 million. He wants $4.5 million. So let me ask you this, okay? Cal Raleigh Cal Raleigh. Oh gosh, dang it! Here, I lost it. I'm gonna get it back. Here it is. Cal Raleigh, 5.6. Okay. Adley Rutschman, 5.5. Shay Langelier, 5.25.
Is it the same amount of years?
Gary Sanchez, 5.
Players, yeah.
Yeah. Wilson Contreras, 4.5. After that, underneath that, Carson Kelly is 3.3.
This is year one
Jonah
for him?
Jonah Heim, 3. This is year one of arbitration for him. Yiner Diaz, with his numbers, where he is he – well, wow, Alejandro Kirk is only a 2.8. That might hurt him. JT Realmuto is only 2.9. Yikes.
Realmuto, boy, he's fell off.
Well, he's really good.
2.9.
How is he 2.9? What year is he?
I'm looking at SpotTrack. He's got a 3-year, $45 million deal he signed.
Well, that must be what they had whenever they were the first year.
When they're 2019, okay. When they went to arbitration.
Okay. How is he such a bargain?
First year of arbitration. Well, listen.
Thanks for fact-checking, Dell.
Yeah. Listen, Yiner only made $800. So there's a chance that he loses this because from 800, you go up to 3. You know, that's a big jump. Yiner, though, as far as where he fits in, where he slots in into this thing, where he, you know, look, okay, JT Realmuto is making $15 million a year. Is Yiner 4.5?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what the other guy makes. It's what the precedent is for
year
one. Yeah,
but what are your numbers? Well, it kind of does because guys make – like Soto made ridiculous money because he compared him to the rest of the league.
Yeah,
no, I know he's not Soto. He's not asking for $22
million.
He's asking for 4.5. What's that?
What did he make in year one?
So it's his final – his year of arbitration.
Year one, not his last year.
Right, year one. What did Soto make, 12?
I'm looking it up.
Anyway, what is in Kyle Raleigh's first year? He made 5.6.
He made he was literally a super two player, earning 70% more than the $5 million projected. He made $8.5 million in his first year of arbitration.
First year of arbitration, 8.5.
Yeah, and you know how good he was. Right. I would say, and that's in 21. I would say, you know, probably in the neighborhood of. Well, that was 19 when Realmuto made that much. Yeah, I think $3.5 million, maybe
close to
four.
It's 3 or 4.5. It's one of the two.
Oh yeah, you can't have a midpoint. I think he probably makes 3. It doesn't go in a player's favor a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And especially since he's coming up from 800,000. He's coming up from 800,000. Although everybody comes up from that number because that's what the minimum wage is for the first 3 years. It's up to 800,000 now.
They couldn't get to they must feel really good about it. If I were him, and I'm not betting on myself, I guess, but I'd be like, can we make it 3.7, guys? Can we make it 3.7?
Well, but, hey.
I mean, you could have negotiated.
They fought Carlos Correa over $50,000 or $75,000. I mean, it was ridiculous.
There are some things the Astros do where it's like, I mean, I know that it's always about, well, Lou, what about this number that they – but there's some – there's some modes of operation that sometimes feel pretty cheap. I have to be honest with you. It does. I guess it's not in your best interest to just have goodwill with the player. I mean, you're trying to – Jim looks at it as a – you know, he looks at it as business, a negotiation, and he wants to win those negotiations because you typically don't win once you get to free agency, market free agency.
Carlos Correa, they offered 4.25, he wanted 5. They went to arbitration over $75,000. I mean, that
No, 750.
Over
4.25 and 5.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit more than 75,000. 750 is a little more.
Yeah, 750. Yeah. They went to arbitration over 750,000.
Yeah, I could see that.
Not me.
That's what, year two?
That's your, no, three. It's arbitration. It's three. It's his fourth year.
What year?
It's after three years.
That was his number after 3 years?
Yeah.
Was 5?
Yeah, 5 million.
Huh. I would have thought his number would have been higher.
You got 3 years of player control.
Oh, well, it was a while back, too. And Cardinals have been here for a while now.
Yeah. But
yeah, so I guess that would have been – well, no. Yeah, I'm surprised Carlos – I would have thought he'd be higher, but Carlos also missed a lot of time back then.
Yeah. Yeah. But he – I mean – well, George fought him, and then George – and at the end, George got a nice number in his third year. But this is Astros. I don't know. I don't love it. But $1.5 million, I guess, is a lot of money. $1.5 million. And you know what? The Astros are probably going to win. But, you know, that always sticks – arbitration is one of the worst things for a player and his attitude towards a team. I've talked to guys. I've had guys on that have, you know, they went to arbitration with the team. It is an ugly process.
You know, Mauricio Dubon and Chaz McCormick got 3.1.
In arbitration?
24. Yeah, it looks like it. Arbitration projections cluster around 3. Now, maybe this is just projections, actually. I got to see if this is projections or what they got.
He's your starting catcher and, you know, a big producer in the middle of your lineup. I don't know. It leaves a really bad taste because all they do is bitch about what kind of player you are.
But let me ask you.
Yeah, it's all negative stuff from the team's
perspective. If you don't sign early, you're not going to stay around anyway. So what difference does it make if you get mad at the Astros?
Well, no, they could actually. Other teams actually extend guys.
I don't care about other teams.
Yeah.
We're not talking about other teams.
Well, if you don't ask for the world, you might actually be on the Astros for.
You mean market value?
Well, I don't know about market value. I mean, if one team signs you, it doesn't mean that's your market value. Well, it means
it does
that's
mean
your
value.
Yeah, but it's a stupid. It's the stupidest
system
ever. It's
not stupid. If somebody signs you to something, that's your market value. And the Astros do not. The Astros don't sign guys to market value. Once you hit the market, you don't get signed back.
I would hesitate on that. Is Shohei $70 million player in Miami?
Why are you?
No, he's not. He's not. No,
it's
different.
I'm only going by Jim Crane's
ownership. That's not market value.
Hold on.
That's MLB value.
Jim Crane doesn't sign free agents who get to the market, not core players. He doesn't sign core players once they get to the market. You either sign early or you don't sign.
Yeah.
Name the guy. Name the core player that he signed once he hits the market. Nobody. There's been nobody. No players have – you have to sign early or you will not get a contract.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the market is not 3 years typically.
Well,
if it becomes the market, you're already out of it.
And who knows? Yiner may become that guy, but apparently not. I mean, if they're going to fight him over, you know –
Well, this is just business to me. Well, look, I'm not – this doesn't bother me because this is just business. This happens in baseball. It's not just the Astros. So I'm not really going after the Astros for being cheap or anything like that here. I'm just telling you – if you let him get to the market at any point, he's gone. And I don't care what other teams do. The Astros don't do it. Jim Crane doesn't do it. If you're a core player, not one core player has been signed once they hit free agency. And when I say core, I'm talking about your top seven players. They don't sign.
Any. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, any player. I can't remember one guy.
Not one.
That's gone through.
No, not since 15, you know, the core, when the young core came up, not one. Now, if you sign early, they'll extend you. If you hit the market, Jim's not going more than 3-4 years. You know, maybe for really good players he would consider 5-6 years, but all we've ever heard is, what, 4? Isn't that what Carlos had, 4? Was it 4 at 120, 125?
No, they offered him 6. They offered him 6.
You sure the offer was that
one,
long? Yeah. Was it 6?
I'm pretty sure it was 6, okay. 150. I'm pretty sure. Maybe 5. And it was 6, 150, 25 a year. That's what their offer to Carlos was. That was their last offer to Carlos, and then they didn't talk anymore.
If you're not going 8 years on those guys, minimum.
I would be surprised if Yiner wins. And you know what? It's going to leave a bad taste in his mouth. You can pretty much think after the 3 years from now, Yiner probably will not be an Astro. It's a bad process.
I don't know.
Go to arbitration.
Don't go with them. Don't go in the room. You don't have to go in
well,
the room.
Well, they do, though. They do.
Why?
I don't know why.
Not every player.
I'm telling you. I've talked to players
A
before.
Good agent will say, hey, this is just business. You know, we have two more arbitrations. We could win the second one, win the third one. Like, I don't know. I just don't feel like you should. I don't feel like every single player should get their feelings hurt when they don't win arbitration.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, when you hear
Chaz got 2.85.
How they go about it.
Chaz got 2.85.
In arbitration?
Mm-hmm.
In a hearing? Or was he,
avoided a hearing.
He avoided it.
Yeah, 2.85 avoided a hearing.
Well, Chaz at that time, though, was a better player than he is now. Chaz was more important 24. To the team than he is now. At that time.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
How about Mauricio Dubon?
A utility player. One other thing, as far as Astros are concerned, the only top 100 player that is not signed? The only top 100 Major League Baseball player that is not signed.
Who?
Framber Valdez.
Oh, top 100 free agents. No.
Top one. He's a top 100 baseball
no,
player.
No, he is. Yeah. He is, but he's the only one.
The only one that's not signed. Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't know who his agent is, but they're going to wait. Because one of the things we have seen is that if you wait on pitchers, you'll eventually get your money, but you're not getting it up front. Teams have played hardball with pitchers early on. I mean, Blake Snell took forever. Remember that? Blake took forever. These pitchers, Blake eventually got his money. He's been very, very good. But these pitchers, they play hardball with the pitchers. They played hardball with Bregman. Hardball with Carlos. Carlos got hardballed twice.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not, you know, it's like there are certain guys they say, yes, this is a guy we will be in on and we'll give him money too quickly. And there's others they say, let's just see if we can pick up some leverage down the stretch. And if you're agents, you're sticking to your guns on what you're going to get paid because you've seen the Blake Snell model. Blake Snell eventually got his money. But he didn't get it right off the bat. Mauricio made $3.5 million in his first year of arbitration after winning his arbitration hearing against the Astros. Mauricio made $3.5 million. So are you sure?
Well, but 4.5 is different. Of course, that was.
It's a year later, but he's also not a. Although he did share time, he was not a full time. Yiner Diaz also shared some time at the position.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's. I saw that. That's accurate. That he was a top. He was the only top 100 left. I think he is. I think he's the only top 100 guy. I saw that in a story, but I'm looking at the guys that are still left. Maybe, yeah. Framber Valdez. Is that pitch so important that nobody wants to sign Framber Valdez?
What pitch?
The pitch where he hit the catcher.
Oh, no, I can't.
I don't know.
I mean, you don't think there's beef on teams or little dust-ups sometimes? I don't think.
I don't know that I don't that think not, is not killing him right now.
Would you really risk 4 years – of 33 to 35 starts a year because he and his catcher got into it? Or he was one really between he and his catcher. He and the Astros were at odds. Would you risk a guy being your starter who is with this background since 2021?
Well, and is he? Is he asking too much? And is he?
And he was in the middle of, you know, he had the contract coming up. If you sign a contract, then you wouldn't have those issues, right?
No, right. Well,
he
no.
shouldn't. He shouldn't be upset. He wasn't an issue before the contract stuff came up.
Well, he was an issue most of the year. I mean, he was pissed about the positioning of the outfield. He was pissed because he didn't get any rest when they were getting no hit.
Well, how much
he
was,
threw the ball? He crossed up his catcher.
I know. But how much of that was because he was pissed at how they handled his contract stuff?
I don't know.
Because if he's gotten paid,
but if that's what you're going to be, I'm pissy and in a contract year, guess what? It's hurting him.
I like guys that pitch and get outs and get wins.
He's
a guy who pitches and gets outs and gets wins.
Him. Time for you to talk a little Zadik Jewelers right now.
Yeah, Zadik is you want to talk about getting wins. Zadik gets you wins all the time. Go to Zadik.com, Zadik.com. You can see exactly what it looks like. at Zadik Online. Go to Zadik.com, and it's at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard. They've got 28,000 square feet of jewelry, and they have specific items ready for Valentine's Day. So if you're looking specifically for Valentine's Day, they've got it edited so that you get exactly what you're looking for, from tennis bracelets to diamond pendants to hoop earrings to, you know, the finest precious metals. They can find something that is going to be unique. They can find something from one of the top designers in the world, because they know who the top designers are in the world. They can educate you on that process as well. They're awesome. I mean, they are really awesome at Zadik Jewelers. And the gift from Zadik Jewelers is going to last forever. You know, roses will wilt. Your dinner, great, that's your dinner, but then that's gone. You know, a gift from Zadik, it may be more expensive, but it's going to last forever. And the quality is going to be unmatched. Do something for her that is going to last a lifetime in terms of memories between the two of you. And that's a Valentine's gift from Zadik Jewelers at 1801 Post Oak Boulevard, or go to Zadik.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.